Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Most people seek the approval of those around them. We all like to be liked. In order to be liked and accepted, people tend to conform to the pattern of life like those around them. This is apparent in the way that we dress, that we think, that we talk, where we go, what we do, what we're for, what we're against. And much of this conformity is of no real spiritual consequence, and often is actually good and necessary. Nobody can argue against fitting into the environment in which he lives, provided the environment is not evil. Nobody in their right mind desires to be a deliberate misfit. It is a virtue to be able to adapt and to adjust to situations. Paul learned to be content in whatever state he found himself. And it is honorable to do what others believe to be honorable, Romans 12 and verse 18. Yes, it is good when people can work together smoothly. We must remember, however, that adapting and conforming are not always the same. This conformity can be dangerous, especially to the Christian, because it has its limits. In the desire to be accepted, if we are not careful, we can compromise truth and right. It's always been hard for the Christian to find his place in the midst of a sinful world. There are just too many things that are anti-Christian in this world. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 through 17, the Holy Spirit had Paul to write, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? Or what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? Or what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." Dear listening friend, there are three key sentences in this passage that we need to investigate. The first, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Come ye out from among them and be ye separate. Touch not the unclean thing. The teaching of the passage, of course, is far easier to understand than it is to practice. This passage does not mean withdrawal from all contact with the unbelieving and wicked people of the world, and some have thought so. And they have wrapped their skirts, so to speak, around them. They've withdrawn from all society. They've gone behind the walls of monasteries and convents, having no association with the world, being as hermits, living alone in their self-righteous piety and goodness. Christians, however, are to swim in the main current of life, even though so often they must swim against the current. Christ came eating with sinners and publicans, never to condone their evil, but to influence them to seek Him as Savior. He could not have done this if he refused all association, nor can we. The apostles and early Christians live in the midst of pagans, and on the night of His betrayal, Christ prayed, "I pray not that Thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that Thou shouldest keep them from the evil," John 17:15. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, 9 through 13, Paul said, "I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then you must needs go out of the world. But now I have written unto you not to company, if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such a one know not to eat. For what have I to do to judge them also which are without? Do not ye judge them that are within? But them that are without God judgeth. Therefore put away from among yourselves that wicked person." Now the teaching is, evil persons in the church are to be disciplined, for their soul's sake. This is not to advocate a complete disassociation from all sinners. To do that would nullify the Great Commission to take the gospel to them. Life could not be lived, and we would have to leave this world if we could not have any association with anybody except those who are Christians. Paul is not calling for a total hands-off seclusion from everything and everybody around us. Well, what was it he's demanding? What does this passage really mean? It requires the Christian to discontinue any intimate association with others that prevents him from being faithful to Christ. Separation from whatever so degrades the standards of morality and truth and duty to God must be avoided. This is true no matter who is involved or what is the cost. We cannot serve God while trotting along with the devil. When Jesus associated with sinners, the stream of influence always flowed his direction, and so must it be with us. When the wicked pull us downward, we must part company. If continued association is leading another to Christ, we should make the most of it for the promotion of what God calls righteous. And while we can never partake of evil with anyone for any reason, if our voices can be heard clearly and distinctly on the side of truth without compromise or leaving a false impression of condoning error, we might be wise to continue the relationship until such is not the case any longer. Often the question is asked if this includes marriage. Why, certainly it does. Marriage is the most intimate relationship between human beings on earth. But we must also recognize it does not apply exclusively to marriage, but to any and every relationship, social, economic, educational, recreational, or whatever. The key word here is unequally. There is to be no entrance into nor continuation in any association or relationship that deprives the Christian of his or her fellowship and fellowship of Christ. It is one of the most inclusive commands of Christianity. 5 times Paul expresses this idea. It takes spiritual and moral strength to sever ties with others. And where does the Christian find this strength? The strength is found in the promises of God. These promises are meaningful to a true Christian and will provide sufficient strength to obeying this teaching. Dear friend, as Christian people, we live in a world where being accepted and popular and approved is sometimes a standard of value and success. And you know, even some Christians use this standard. But such is a vain and deadly measure. Christians are to be lights in the world of sinful darkness, reflecting the brilliance of the Son of God, Matthew 5:16. We cannot succeed in our Christian mission by conforming to the very error that we are supposed to oppose. Christians are those who, in the face of opposition and temptation, dare to be different for righteousness' sake. For this reason, the Christian abstains from drinking alcoholic beverages and the modern lascivious dance, and immodesty in dress, the unclean habits of smoking, chewing tobacco, dishonesty, profanity, other forms of sinful worldliness. We are in the world, but not to partake of the sinful things of the world, but are to teach the world, to live exemplary lives before the world, never being partakers of those things of the world that contaminate the soul. I have often used the phrase in my preaching, you sometimes can't tell a church member from a non-church member. They live the same kind of life, they have the same goals, they're equally immodest and profane, they smoke the same brand and drink the same beer, they go to the same places, they do the same things. Often there's no real difference in manner of life between them, even at hours of worship. They are both on the golf course, or in the boat at the lake, or traveling, or visiting, or sleeping. Friend Noah and his family were saved only because they were separate from the rest. Abraham was called out of the Ur of Chaldees. Lot was spared after he fled Sodom. Israel fell because they were like the nations around them. The early church went into apostasy by compromising with heathen and human doctrines. Demas forsook everything because of his love for the world, 2 Timothy 4 and verse 10. Separation from evil has always been necessary. The Old Testament prophets urged people to be different. One of the great differences and hindrances to the advance of the cause of Christ today is the worldly living of members of the church. We should learn the meaning of 1 John 5 and verse 19. We know that we are of God and the whole world lieth in wickedness. We should learn to be sober and righteous and godly in this present world. We should learn that we are no longer to be servants of sin, but servants of God. We are not to partake of those things that are sinful in nature as children of God. We are to learn that friendship with the world is enmity with God. We are to come ye out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. In summary, the Christian must continually examine every activity, every association, every relationship in life, making sure it is no stain of compromise with evil. May we heed this teaching and let the light of truth shine in our lives. Otherwise, we're under the bushel to our disgrace and to the offense of God. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.